Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
And I'm Anish Gupta.
And in this episode, we got a good one planned for you guys. There wasn't a whole ton of NFL news that went on this week, but we tried to find some good topics to discuss today. We're going to start it off by talking about the New York Football Giants, who, you know, coming into free agency, not a lot of people expected them to make too many big moves with the cap space they had, the guys they had to re-sign and bring back. And especially after they franchise tagged Leonard Williams, everyone just kind of assumed that they wouldn't really bring anyone in. But here we are a couple of weeks later. They brought in Kenny Golladay, Adoree Jackson, and they gave a contract extension to Leonard Williams. So in this episode, kind of to start it off, you two, let's talk about what the Giants did this offseason, what it means for them, the NFC East, the NFL. What do you guys think about what the Giants have done so far?
I think I'll touch on the Golladay and Adoree Jackson signings. But, you know, Dave Gettleman made moves this offseason to help Daniel Jones. You know, they use a first round pick on him, but he's never really been in like a great situation. He's had a pretty much a subpar offensive line. Saquon got hurt. Ingram got hurt. His wide receiver core has been inconsistent. He's never had, you know, a true wide receiver one. He's just had a lot of things to overcome.
All facts, all I'm hearing.
He's had a lot of things to overcome. But, you know, now there's absolutely no excuses. If DJ can't succeed with Kenny Golladay, Saquon Barkley, Evan Ingram, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, assuming they all stay on the field, I think then it's on him. And I think the Golladay signing in terms of money, it was a great deal because he's signing this deal after the TV rights deal was announced. So they can structure this deal so that it's backloaded and the cap is going to take a massive jump at that point. So in a couple of years, you know, 18 mil a year for a receiver of Golladay's caliber, that actually is looking like a really good deal. And now, in terms of the draft with Golladay, you don't need a receiver at 11. I'd love for the Giants to get Micah Parsons, maybe fix up the O-line a bit, still continue to help Daniel Jones. But I think the Golladay signing, it just made too much sense. It made too much sense for the Giants. Even if it was, if it looks costly, I think it made a lot of sense because given their situation with Jones at quarterback, you know, in addition to the state of the roster right now, I think if you throw Kenny Golladay into the mix, now you can truly assess, you know, you can truly evaluate Daniel Jones and really see what he brings to the table. And in terms of Adoree Jackson, we all know he was a part of that Tennessee team that made it to the AFC Championship. They played great in that playoffs, the defense especially. And, you know, his performance made all of us believe that in 2020 that, you know, he would show us why he was picked so high. But then, of course, he had a knee injury. And eventually he was released. But I love this fit for Adoree Jackson. He's going to join Jabril Peppers, Logan Ryan, his former teammate. You got James Bradbury there. So that's a pretty strong cornerback duo. This is a great secondary. And you can't forget about Xavier McKinney either. And sure, you know, Adoree Jackson may not give you eye-popping stats. But I think in the right system, which I think is with Joe Judge and this Giants team, I think he's going to be a productive player. And, you know, the Giants wanted him. You know, they're going to surround him with talent. They're willing to help him. So I like both the signings. I like what Dave Gettleman's been doing this offseason in terms of free agency. But, you know, it's yet to see what he's going to do in the draft because that's where I think he kind of lacks in talent, I'd say.
So I think whoever's been watching this podcast for a while, everyone pretty much knows that I'm the Giants supporter. And I will continue to support them, and I will continue to root for them. They're not my favorite team or anything, just an avid Giants supporter. And so I do follow a Giants page. It's called Giants Route. It's by my friend Jason. So whoever's watching this, go check that out. He posts Giants news every day, so quick plug for him there. But so for the signings, right, Kenny Golladay and Adoree Jackson, put it in context, right? So obviously a lot of people said it was overpaid, 4 years, 72 mil. Odell Beckham is making 5 years, 96. So just put it in a little bit perspective, and I think we can say right now, Kenny Golladay is better than Odell Beckham Jr.
And Amari Cooper's making five for 100 years.
Yep.
I mean, Amari Cooper's better than Kenny Golladay, but like I think the reason that everyone thought
Really sure about that?
I think so.
I
think
as of right now, I'd take Cooper.
We need to see another season from Golladay.
That's fair.
But I think everyone's just saying it's an overpay because a lot of the wide receivers got underpaid this year. Like the fact that Juju got 1 year for $8 million and Will Fuller
took a massive pay cut. But yeah, like I love the signing. There are some guys, you know, especially the guy, I think, to my right. I don't know how the Zoom thing looks, but there's a guy named Jack Smith who isn't high on Daniel Jones, who thought Dwayne Haskins would be better than Daniel Jones, who thinks Daniel Jones was bottom four last year. But here's Who has been his most consistent receiver? Has he had one? He hasn't had one at all. I mean, Darius Slayton, you can maybe even mention, but no, he's the definition of inconsistent. So Kenny Golladay is finally a receiver one who, you know, he had the option. He had options. He had calls from Baltimore, Chicago, who could have played with Allen Robinson. Now, I know that's not the best quarterback fit, but he also had a call from Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Okay, so he had options, but he chose New York. So he had all these scenarios, right? And he still chose New York for a reason. So there's something there. He sees something. Now, I'm not saying he's seeing something that none of us are seeing, but he chose the Giants for a reason. Okay, he had options, so there had to have been something there. I highly doubt that the Bengals couldn't have matched that offer, and I'm pretty sure they did. Same thing with the Chicago Bears. I believe they tried to because Allen Robinson was on a tag. So Kenny Golladay, I love the signing. He finally gets a consistent wide receiver one, and I think Kenny Golladay is pushing. If you put him 10th or 11th on your receiver list, I'm not going to fault you. Really, I wouldn't. If you just watch his highlights, he's one of the best jump ball receivers in the league today. So he is just amazing. Like, you should just see some of the catches he makes. I mean, like, some of them I'm just in awe of. So, you know, Kenny Golladay, I love the signing. Now, Adoree Jackson, I think he's one of the best nickel corners in the league. And I know that's pretty high praise, but when he plays, I think, especially in nickel defenses, and I've seen when the Giants can run it, they'll put Logan Ryan kind of in the slot at times. And I think Adoree Jackson can kind of fill that role now. Now, he doesn't obviously have to be that number one corner anymore because, you know, again, it was kind of weird with Malcolm Butler, like, who was their guy? So, you know, just – Shriga already named the names, but I'm just going to reiterate for you, the Giants secondary. James Bradbury, Jabril Peppers, Xavier McKinney, Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson. I mean, that's locks. Like, that's – I'm excited. That's – by far the best secondary in the NFC East, and I think that could be one of the best secondaries in the NFC. Obviously, I think I'll still give credit to the Rams, but this one's creeping up there. So I love that signing as well. And, you know, they had some loss. I believe they lost Zeidler to Baltimore, and they lost Dalvin Tomlinson to Minnesota. But just overall, you know, they get Kyle Rudolph, and now I get to touch on my guy, Daniel Jones. Now, I'm not going to say no MVP takes because I'm done on that. Never doing that again. Nope, never saying that. But this is a make or break year for him. And I think everyone has said that. You know, I agree. This is kind of – he's in a similar situation to Baker Mayfield, except he hasn't had the flashes that Baker did. So this really is a prove-it year for him. Like, you know, we don't have anything to bank on to say, oh, you know, he took the Giants to the playoffs or, like, you know, he broke the rookie record or anything. He hasn't had that. So this really is that make or break year. But Jack, I want to ask you something. Do you know who has the best passer rating of 20 plus yards downfield throws?
No, why don't you tell me?
It's Daniel Jones. And again, hasn't had a consistent wide receiver. Also, let's think about all the times downfield he's had some drops, whether it was Darius Slayton or Sterling Shepard or against the Eagles, Evan Ingram right here. Literally the easiest catch and he drops it. So Daniel, and you know, you can look at his stats last year, obviously the whole vanilla Vic vibe tripping up, you know, 10 picks, only 11 touchdowns, but he played well in some pretty big games. That Monday night game against Tampa Bay, I thought he played great. The touchdown to Golden Tate in the final drive. If you don't know what I'm talking about, watch it. It'll take a minute of your time. It was really good. Played great against both Eagles games. He played great. Obviously if Evan Ingram doesn't if Evan Ingram catches that, they win that game, and I don't get to see Carson Wentz have a game-winning touchdown on his resume, which made me pretty excited, but hey, it would have been void. So you know, he had some flashes last year, also against Washington, both times played great, and he actually had a stretch of no turnovers over I think it was four games. So that's one thing too. This is a make or break year, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to say anything like he's going to, you know, be a franchise cornerstone or anything like that, but I think the Giants should give him the benefit of the doubt, which is what they're doing, and I'm glad they are. And I think, you know, this Giants team, you finally have a healthy Saquon. Remember I said this. Remember that was one of my hot takes. Daniel Jones would be top five in passing yards with a healthy Saquon. Hopefully it can happen now with Kenny Golladay, Kyle Rudolph. Slayton maybe comes back healthy. Shepard had a great game against Dallas final week of the season. And then before I pass it on to Jack, I would do want to touch on a GM, Dave Gettleman. I'm an aspiring GM. I think I don't know if I've said that on the podcast, but yeah, that's what I want to be. And for Dave Gettleman, you know, it comes in 2018. His first pick was Saquon. Jack doesn't like the pick. I think it was okay. I thought it was good. And obviously he got a lot of backlash, right, for the Daniel Jones pick. I personally think the pick wasn't bad. I just think him at six was the problem. That's why the media backlashed it so much. He could have taken him at 17. But he's made, I think he's making up for it. Like, you know, he's been great in free agency. He's good trade on Leonard Williams, right? I think we can agree it was a good trade. I think they gave up a sixth, right? Jack, do you know?
They gave up a third rounder, actually.
I think it was
I
think it was a bad trade. Like, it was Leonard Williams has panned out for them, but I still think at the time it was a very bad trade.
But see, that's the problem. So with prospects like that, who obviously haven't done well, you're banking on potential. So
I know. I get it.
And I, you know, they obviously paid for him, and you can touch on that. I thought it was a little bit overpaid, but you know,
I agree.
Keep what you know,
they had to overpay him though.
Keep your talent, yeah.
But if you're letting Dalvin Tomlinson walk, like
That I guess. But you know, again, Gettleman's been making the right moves this up. I didn't even mention John Ross, speedy guy, right? Like, you know, like he's low making risk, the high moves. Reward, yeah. So he's making the right moves. Nothing, you know, too crazy, right? You know, he's just been going with the I don't think he's necessarily overpaid a guy. I don't think Kenny Golladay was an overpay. So I think Gettleman's doing the right moves. We'll see in the draft, like you said. But now with that number 11 pick, there are so many ways you can go. Imagine if Slater falls, right? Or even Elijah Vera Tucker, right? Like there's so many options. Or Parsons, right? There's so many options now with that 11th pick. You don't have to – you can focus on value rather than need. And I think that's what his goal was. And I think he definitely succeeded in that. So with that, I'm going to pass it on to Jack.
Every time we do these episodes and it kind of comes back around to me, there's like 8 things on my plate that you guys have brought up and I have to try and address them all.
I'm sorry. You just
my bad.
You guys touched on the signings pretty well. I'm a little bit biased towards Adoree Jackson, one of my favorite players ever to play at USC, won a Thorpe Award there, one of the most dynamic playmakers in the country. And it's kind of sucked to see that he hasn't been able to do that in the NFL. Like teams aren't using him on offense like he was at USC. He's not getting those same opportunities at kick and punt. He was insane. I don't know if you guys ever watched him in college.
Nope, I did not.
He had 3 touchdowns in one game against Notre Dame, like on a kick return, a punt return, and a pass. It was just insane. I think he might have gotten overpaid slightly. I mean, he's being paid kind of in that upper echelon of corners.
13.
And I think that Anish, while you do say he's one of the best slot corners in the league, I would argue that I think he will play on the outside first of all this year. I think Ryan's going to go back to where he was playing at slot corner, and Xavier McKinney will take over at safety with Real Peppers. And I think that leaves Adoree Jackson on the outside. But I think that while, you know, he was in a decent secondary at times with Tennessee, it just seems like DBs are kind of destined to not play super well with Tennessee. Like Kevin Byard's done pretty well, but Malcolm Butler didn't work out. Christian Fulton last year didn't work out. Like a lot of people that are brought into the Tennessee, you know, DB room, they just don't really pan out too well in it. I just think he needed a new situation especially with all the injuries going on there. Just, I felt like he needed to go somewhere new, and being back with Logan Ryan, they heavily recruited Adoree Jackson. We've talked about players that have confidence will do well. And if a team, you know, was flying out guys to go recruit Adoree Jackson, like the New York Giants were, I think it gives a guy a lot of confidence, and hopefully he can do well. Kenny Golladay is a monster. I mean, you could argue, I think with a healthy year this year, he would have been considered a top 10 wide receiver. And there's no argument that he isn't a top 10 wide receiver talent in the league right now. I think he honestly has the potential to be a top 5, top 3 receiver in the league. And I don't doubt that for a second.
Top 3? Whoa.
I'd say I top really 5. Think that. Say top 5.
I mean,
no, like, he has, if you really look at like how he has been playing as like, do you want me to bring up his game log for you? Like he had 6 catches, 114 yards, 6 catches, 105 yards, 8 catches, 62 and a touchdown, 7 catches, 57 yards and a touchdown. So
he led
that's
the league.
His game. Like that's amazing.
And he gets yards and touchdowns, which is something you don't like. I feel like he's the perfect balance of yards and touchdowns, or at least he was a couple years ago.
He led the league. Most touchdowns in the NFC.
Tied with Marvin Jones. I think he led the league.
I think he'll come back from that injury, too. I think he'll come back from that injury
and
strong.
I had him on my fantasy team last year, and it kind of sucked he never played. I stuck with him the whole year, hoping he came back. But in the games he did play, he was pretty good, and especially coming off that injury. And really, he's been playing in Detroit. And look, I don't know anyone that wants to play in Detroit. So it's just –
man.
I think that he did well, you know, based on that. And I think he will do super well with the Giants in New York. But Anish, you talk about Daniel Jones. And I think it's funny that up the how he played pretty well in some losses. Do you remember when we were having conversations last year about Sam Darnold? And I'm like, oh, but look at his rookie year. Look how well he played against Aaron Rodgers. Look how well he played against Deshaun Watson. And you go, did he win? And I had to sit there and say no. And you said, oh, well, you know what? Doesn't really matter.
Yep.
why does it matter for Daniel Jones? I mean,
I
let's keep it transparent here. Let's keep it transparent.
So I think there's a little bit, of difference. So I didn't see any, like, in my opinion, I didn't see any quote unquote flashes from Sam Darnold. And I was like, oh, he's gonna, like, and I know that sounds very, like, bad of
no,
me.
No, I get that. I totally get that. But I haven't seen flashes from Daniel Jones.
That's fair. That's why see, when people hate on him, I don't necessarily say, oh my God, you're so wrong. So, like, you know, I have a friend who is not a fan of Daniel Jones either. And I say, okay, fine. You know, you can hate on him, but here's the thing. I simply put my faith in a guy that I see, you know, win or lose. Even I'm starting to learn that too. I'm starting to, you know, not only, you know, I'm starting to go a little bit deeper. But like, you know, I still, you know, have faith in what Daniel Jones can do. I think he's one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league. That's one.
He just stumbles a lot.
Yeah, he tends to stumble.
Poor guy.
And I think he's got a great arm. I think he's got a great arm. Yes, he fumbles a ton, but he's got a great arm. And I think, again, like I said, shown flashes, even in the fourth quarter, like, you know, just in crunch time, never seemed to really get phased. So, you know, that's my take on him. Obviously, I'm not going to, you know, I just want to see him with some weapons around him. Like, I haven't gotten that.
Yeah.
And I think, again, he's always had that big target on his back because he was taken sixth overall. If he was taken with the 17th pick, I think it would have been so much less. You would have gotten him at 17, Gettleman. Like, that's his biggest mistake, in my opinion. Taking him at 6. Not taking Daniel Jones. It was just taking him at 6. I think you take him at 17. Go for it, but, you know, I think this was the 2019 draft.
They got to think Josh at the time, Allen,
but there was,
it was
yeah,
oh,
there
no,
you
no, Josh
yes,
Allen.
That's
been,
what I was thinking.
Was he on
no,
the
no,
board?
Josh
he was
Allen
on the
was
board.
Picked seventh by the Jags.
He went at 7.
That's what I wanted.
They could have both of them.
I wanted Josh Allen to go there.
Yeah, but
so, you know, just that was my opinion on it. But you know,
I mean,
Daniel Jones still got faith.
Before I move on to my opinion about Dave Gettleman, Anish, I want to ask you one more question about Daniel Jones, because I see a lot of parallels to your opinion about Josh Allen, because, you know, Josh Allen wasn't great his first 2 years.
Yeah.
Yes, he made the playoffs the second year, but wasn't great. And your argument was, you know, I think he's got talent and I saw flashes, right? And think about going into Josh Allen's third year. What did the Bills do? They got him some weapons. They traded for Stephon Diggs, and they just kept developing that culture that they had under.
Absolutely right.
That defense was nice too.
Defense
and
was nice.
Giants
and the
are
Giants
up.
Defense is going to be pretty good this year.
Bills defense was all right this year, but
okay,
I think it took a step back from last year. Or
yeah, but
years.
We're saying like they were
going into
up,
the year.
So, you know, with all those similarities.
Don't pick this. No. I'm not doing
with all these similarities.
No.
He's saying Daniel Jones is going to have a Josh Allen type.
No.
That's what I'm asking you. That's what I'm asking you. So, like,
yeah,
this whole thing is, I mean, where's the faith in Daniel Jones then? What do you think he's going to be?
No, here's my see, Josh Allen. Okay. What I saw in Josh Allen was my thing was, okay, he's going to, because the thing is, he was winning. Like, he was part of their winning culture. You didn't think that. Remember you said he kind of got carried by his defense? I thought he was part of that winning culture. I thought he was the reason behind most of their wins. Like, you know, the game, for example, against the Browns, like, he led them to a field goal and Hauschka just – like, he has been countless times, and even in that season, and I know there were games where just, you know, you question, like, what the hell is he doing? But, again, that was – I think there was a – like, he was 10-6, and again, in that playoff game when the lights were shining brightest, he played his tail off fourth quarter and overtime. I think with Daniel Jones, the thing is one, he played worse than Josh Allen his second year. That's one. Two, he has more problems, meaning the fumbling problem is just like, it's huge. Like, Josh Allen never had this fumbling problem.
He had the accuracy problem.
He had accuracy.
He had the
accuracy.
Crazy accuracy.
He
did
have the accuracy problem, but he also had the most drops by a quarterback that year. So I think, you know, with Daniel Jones, the fumbling problem is a little bit bigger than the accuracy problem, because also Daniel Jones has tended to struggle with some accuracy on mid-tier throws, like over the middle of the field. But, you know, I think the comparison to Josh, you're right. There are some similarities in my quote unquote analysis, But the reason why I had Josh Allen was higher was, one, I thought he was already in a winning culture that was poised for him to take that next step. I didn't expect – I'm going to say this, you know, I'm going to be honest. I didn't expect this type of jump. No one did. But, you know, I did expect him to get some MVP votes. I thought they would go 12-4. I think they went 13-3. So, you know, even he exceeded my expectations. But I thought, you know, he would take a jump. I think Daniels will also take a jump, right? And that's why I, you know, as of right now, I want to put the Giants as my favorite for the NFC East.
So how big of a jump? How big of a jump? How big of a jump?
What did they go? 5-11, 6-10, I think. No, they went 6-10.
6-10.
They went 6-10. I think 8-8, maybe more. But because really, questions for Dallas on defense, and then Washington, right? Like, who's their quarterback, right? So there's still some questions there. Can they really keep it? So
I think Fitzmagic.
Yeah, so I think 8-8 is what I want to have him right now.
And then how far does he jump in the quarterback rankings at the end of the year? Take your guess right now.
Hard to say right now, but I think you could maybe he could push himself into that top 15 discussion.
Okay, I don't hate it.
That's
Shriekart, you haven't talked in a while. I know that. Do you want to talk about what you think about Dave Gettleman?
See, here's the thing. I kind of said it earlier, but I think Dave Gettleman, there's two sides to being GM. There's, you know, making all these free agency deals the early part of the offseason. And then there's drafting and scouting and, you know, truly evaluating talent. I think he has one side of that lockdown, and that's free agency. When it comes to evaluating talent, I don't trust him on the drafting side yet. That's kind of where Dave Gettleman kind of falters for me. But I do have to give credit where it's due. He's pretty much turned around this Giants team, him and Joe Judge. I like that tandem there.
Yeah, I think picked Judge? I'm just saying.
He did pick Joe Judge. And at the time, we thought it was bad. But, I mean, it's turned out well. It's paid dividends for him. He's their coach going into the future. But I think Dave Gettleman, he's done more good than bad, I'd say. He's done more good than bad. And I think if he can draft just a little bit better, I think as of right now, he's overhated. He's an overhated GM. He doesn't deserve, you know, nearly the amount of flack he gets, because I think we'd all agree in saying he's one of the most hated GMs in the NFL. Just
I would argue. I mean, you could say D. I mean, Howie Roseman was bad.
Howie Roseman's been getting a lot of backlash recently.
Yeah.
So
with everything with the Eagles,
but he's definitely one of the, like, if you bring up GM names, first off, not a lot of GM names are even known.
Yeah, and funny that most of the hated ones are in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm. That's a funny thing, but Dave Gettleman's definitely overhated. I like what he's doing with the Giants. He's definitely pushing them forward in a positive direction. I think just when it comes to evaluating talent, he can definitely get a bit better in that regard.
I'm less of the kind of optimistic, you know, mindset when it comes to Dave Gettleman. I think that, like Shriekar said, there are multiple things that GMs are supposed to do. And I feel like GMs that can manage the cap and find good deals in free agency and you know, make contracts work, they're a dime a dozen, honestly. Like, I mean, Howie Roseman is maybe the worst GM in the National Football League, and he's great at that. And so, like, yes, he's able to find good contracts, you know, giving that the tag to Leonard Williams and then giving him the extension and finding a Dory Jackson and then get Kenny Golladay, the low risk, high reward for John Ross. I think, like, he's able to make the cap work very well. And I think, like, one of the things we haven't talked about is, you know, how coming into the offseason, they weren't going to be able to bring in these kind of players and contracts. And then they worked things around and they were able to get Leonard Williams back on the extension and those two great players. And so I feel like he's good at that. But I feel like the more important part of being a GM is drafting. And you guys are saying, you know, he's not great at drafting and all that. I think he sucks at drafting. I really think that Dave Gettleman doesn't really have the best eye for talent. And he just doesn't know. I feel like he just doesn't know kind of the ins and out of the draft and, like, good value in the draft. And, like, Daniel Jones should not have been picked at 6. Like, you mentioned that earlier. It's
not at 6, but I think they still make a pick
that was not smart whatsoever. Like, and it's taking a running back at pick 2.
But here's the thing with Daniel Jones at 6. Here's where I'll defend Gettleman. If you really want your franchise guy, and if you
I agree with that. Like, that's why I wasn't. But I still think you can take him at 17, right? If you
really trade up from 17.
It was more of a shock than a bad pick.
But I don't even think, like, because the thing is, I think at the time the Redskins, but Washington now, they wanted Haskins throughout.
Yeah.
So when they had him at 15, they were like, okay, let's do it. So they were going to take him anyway. I mean, they had him number one, and a lot of people had him number one, even though even I think I had DJ or was there a quarterback? Oh, Kyler was one. Sorry. Yeah. Kyler was one. Mm-hmm. And then, sorry, I think I had DJ too. But yeah, like, you know, I think that one pick, but I agree with Shrigar too. Like, you know, teams always overdraft on QBs and sometimes it works.
Sometimes you have to.
I mean, if teams always overdraft on quarterbacks, then the year before when they had the second overall pick with, you know, at the time, three great quarterback prospects, people thought, and Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
And then Lamar Jackson later in the first round. Like, no one was going to take him at pick two, but they drafted a running back at pick two. So even if it's even, I still think they should take a quarterback there. I still think they should have taken one of those three, Rosen, Darnold, or Allen. Because yes, they had Eli Manning, but who you don't pick at two very often, and you don't have that many great quarterback prospects sitting there.
Argument could be made, right? But also, right, like, I mean, there were rumors of Saquon being a generational talent, which he proved to be his rookie year.
But it's still a running back at pick two. It makes no sense to me. I hate – okay, Saquon's a good player. I don't hate the player. I hate the pick. I don't hate the player. I hate the pick. Running back shouldn't go at two. And even if Saquon is that
good – they haven't picked up his fifth year.
And honestly, I don't know if they should. Like, he's played really – he's played one –
full season.
Full season. He's played one.
He's durable.
So he played one full year. He had 2,000 scrimmage. He led the league in scrimmage yards.
He was elite. Okay.
Yeah. And then the second year gets hurt in the mid stretch, but comes back and has like 600 scrimmage yards in like four games. So.
Yeah. Like he has that potential, but that's where you're going to get with the running back position is a lot of missed games. And, you know, that's the risk you run. And so, you know, maybe you make the argument, fine, they don't take a quarterback there, but then you trade down, you take Saquon at like, five or six, like there were so many teams that could have traded up for quarterbacks in that draft. Yeah. I just feel like he doesn't handle the draft well. He doesn't have a good eye for talent. He doesn't know, you know, the ins and outs of the draft and the value of certain picks and positions and stuff like that. And, you know,
but
some
I think,
of his other
again,
picks.
Like I, so, yeah, he may not be the best at evaluating talent. Keep in mind he did, you know, Slayton late round pick.
Yeah, but good. I mean, everyone hits on
but
a couple.
But I will say this, right? I think he's finally set himself up for this draft to be very – not easy to do, but less risky. Because again, like I said, with that 11th pick now, he doesn't have to draft off need. He can draft off value.
I agree. But I think drafting off need in general is just not a good idea. I think just draft best player available and eventually it'll work itself around. But I mean, picks like DeAndre Baker at the end of the first round, Will Hernandez has been okay. I mean, Dexter Lawrence, a good run stopper. I'm not sure.
I will defend that pick.
I like it. It's a good pick, but would you rather have Daniel Jones and Dexter Lawrence or Daniel Jones and Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
Like, I mean, it kind of just, I don't like the way he handles drafts. And I feel like to be considered a good GM, maybe I won't consider him a bad GM, a below average is what I'd probably say. But in order for me to consider you a good GM or an average GM, you have to be able to do both, you know, signings, contract stuff, and the draft. And I just I don't see that from Dave Gettleman. And I know we've talked about the Giants for a long time. Now we'll move on a second, but that's just, you know, my whole opinion of Dave Gettleman. But
keep in mind, I have faith in the Giants and Daniel Jones and Gettleman. Jack does not.
No, I have faith in the Giants. I just don't have faith in Daniel Jones.
Oh, sorry. No. DJ and Gettleman.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have faith in them, but look, I think Giants fans, you should be very excited for this year, excited for the draft. I mean, even adding a guy like they could add a guy like Jalen Waddle if he's still there. Like, there's a ton of possibilities. And I think that Giants fans, you should be excited going into this year. At least from all three of us, we are very hopeful for the Giants' future. And while we might disagree on Gettleman or Daniel Jones or some of their picks, I think the one constant is we think they are going to be good down the line in the next couple of years. So I just, you know, take what you will from this whole discussion we've just had. But if you're going to take anything, I would say take that. Take that we think they're going to be good in the next couple of years. But to completely kind of switch gears, we talk a lot about quarterbacks on this podcast, on our YouTube channel. And something that comes up very often is us saying, oh, yeah, but I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with that guy. For example, we talked about Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals the other week or so when we were talking about J.J. Watt. And I said, you know what? I like Kyler Murray. I've seen a lot from him. But I just don't think you can, as a team, win a Super Bowl with Kyler Murray. As of right now, that's what I was thinking. Let's see. We talk about a guy like Kirk Cousins when Anish and I talked. You know, we just don't think you can win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. So we took four polarizing quarterbacks that we can make a debate over about, you know, whether they can win a Super Bowl. Not with the team they're at right now, but But if you were starting a team, you just built an average roster, could you win a Super Bowl with these four quarterbacks? Let's start it off, Shrikar. Do you think you could, you know, any team win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson as the quarterback?
I would say yes. I think Lamar can win a Super Bowl. And let's stick to his current situation with the Ravens. You know, they're building around him. But the thing with Lamar Jackson, if we trace back to the start of his career, he's always had monkeys on his back that he's had to shrug off. The first one, let's say getting to the playoffs. Next was getting a playoff win. Now that he has the playoff win, can he get past the second round? I think he's going to keep developing, and over time he'll get to that stage where he will make a Super Bowl, and I think he can win a Super Bowl. And obviously for a mobile quarterback like Jackson, you know, you kind of worry about how long he's going to last in this league. I think he can last quite a long time. But I think in terms of if he can win a Super Bowl, I sure think he can. Will he? That's not really the question, but that's up for debate. Will he? I don't think so, but I definitely think he can.
I'll go next. So, look, I'm always the positive, have faith in it guy on this pod.
It's a little bit easier.
It is easier to be that guy. It is, right? Like, to have faith in players. And I have nothing but, like, respect and admiration for Lamar Jackson. I think he's a, you know, top seven quarterback. I think he's polarizing. He's proved so many critics wrong. I mean, so many experts wanted him to be a receiver. I mean, like, he has proved everybody wrong. That being said, I actually am going to say no. And here's why. So Lamar Jackson is, when I watch him, like, especially against the Browns, because he likes to dominate and beat us all the time. So thanks. But, you know, he is so elusive and so off script. Here's my problem. In the Super Bowl, and especially in the playoffs, I've said this 100 times, the game will slow down. I don't care what it is. The game is going to slow down. It's going to, you know, and not even the weather or anything like that. It's just a lot slower paced. Lamar thrives himself on quick paced offense, quick paced moves, quick paced reads. When the game start, like even when we saw Mahomes this game, right, in the Bucks Chiefs Super Bowl, it wasn't that the game was slowing down. It's just he couldn't even keep up with all the stuff that was happening. And it's Lamar will never get pressured like that because he's too fast. But here's my thing, right? When against Buffalo, for example, when, you know, it was a very slow paced game, you know, time wasn't ticking. It was just, you know, like very slow, right? Very slow start, right? Both teams, I think it was, I know the weather was bad and stuff, but, you know, just think about it, right? The Chargers game to his first year, the Titans game, his second year, and then the Bills game, his third year. Obviously he lost all of those three. And that's probably the, why I'm using that as sample size. I just don't think in the big game, right, in those final two, I'm not saying he's not clutch. I'm not saying he can't, you know, will his team to a victory. But I just think if you were to start a team, I think there are quarterbacks that have a better play style, right, and are better in the pocket, a little bit more pocket awareness than Lamar Jackson. I don't want to rely on off-script plays when I'm playing in a Super Bowl. I just don't think that works. I, like, you know, even the quote-unquote Philly special wasn't necessarily a whole off-script play. It was designed to be a quote-unquote misdirection. So, you know, think about it, right? Like, can you name me an off-script play that has, like, quote-unquote, like, won, you know, a Super Bowl? I really can't. Like, you know, it's always been methodical drives, sealing games, or, you know, winning it, right? Like, I mean, all of Brady's Super Bowls have been game-winning drives except this one. So, you know, just those, just examples, right? Peyton Manning against the Panthers, right? Long drive with the rushing touchdown to put him up 2 scores. Like, you know, it's like that. I just don't think Lamar Jackson can do that. And also, I still don't like him playing from behind. Those are the two things. No knock on his ability. That's just my, like, if really gun to my head, yes or no, I'm going to say no.
I think I completely agree with you with the fact that if he's in a Super Bowl and they don't get ahead early, that I don't think he'll win one. But
yeah,
I feel like he will, over his career, make it to more than one Super Bowl. I feel like he'll make it to multiple, at least a few.
But the thing is, it's if you could, can he win it, right? So yeah, not,
no, I'm getting, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
And I think that there will be a couple of those times where they come out of the gates and they're not firing on all cylinders, and then they have to come from behind and they just don't really quite do it. But with that offense that he runs, with how explosive he is, I feel like one of those times, especially like in the playoffs, we've yet to see a playoff game where they just come out of the gates and they are just kind of dominating. But I feel like eventually it'll give, and there's no one better than the Baltimore Ravens when they get ahead early. I really believe that, which is why they dominate so much in the regular season. And I feel like in the playoffs, it'll happen at least once. So, and you know what? I'm not just talking about the Ravens, but just a Lamar Jackson offense, no matter who he has, is just going to be so explosive. I mean, the rest of that offense isn't great. Like, he's had a pretty good offensive line at the tackle positions when they're healthy. Mark Andrews has been good, but nothing at receiver.
He had really. Yonda first couple of years in the league.
Yeah, that's true. But I think, like, I mean, his running backs, Mark Ingram, like, he turned Mark Ingram into a Pro Bowler. Anthony Dominguez is pretty good. Like, I mean, you put him on just a league average offense with an offense that's designed around him, which would happen no matter where he is. I feel like eventually just things will give, and he could definitely win a Super Bowl. And I think he probably will. I think he'll win at least one in his career. I hope so. I just feel like he's too explosive not to have that happen at least once.
But just one thing before we move on. I think Lamar currently, I think I said this before, he's a running QB. I think in order for him to win one or be a quarterback that can, he needs to switch to being a QB that runs. Okay. So the difference is he's not a running quarterback. He needs to be a quarterback that can run, which he can, obviously. Like,
he did this year in the playoffs when they beat, I believe it was Tennessee. Yeah. Tennessee in the walk-around. Yeah. I feel like he was that. And I don't think he's at fault for this year's playoff run. I think he was a couple or 2 years back when they did lose the Titans.
But so no, actually no, against Buffalo, there was a play. It's not the play he threw the pick. It was the play before. So Lamar runs out to the right. His offensive line gives, and he's forced to overthrow Hollywood Brown on a drag that would have actually scored. So there were these plays where Lamar would kind of put himself in a bad situation, right? Because he's so thinking off script, right? What can I do outside? So again, don't be a running QB. Be a quarterback that runs. And I'm sure I'm going to get into that more, but that's, I think, my main problem right now.
I think he's going to fix that. Like, he's been in the league. He's been a starter for 2 years.
Yep. Yeah, as I said, he's going to keep developing. He's going to keep developing and getting better. I think his arm is going to get better too. So, I mean, we could see some real strides over the next few years from Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, we'll move on to a quarterback who isn't still developing and probably won't develop for the rest of his career. He'll probably just regress, honestly. Like, he's going to, I think, stick at this pace and then start to regress. It's Ryan Tannehill of the Tennessee Titans. And I did an Instagram post a couple of weeks back about the five most underrated players in the league, and Tannehill was one of them. And I really think that the reason he's underrated is because so many people say that the reason that the Tennessee Titans have been good and the reason their offense is because of Derrick Henry. And as a lot of you know, as I don't like the running back position all that much, I don't believe that. I think Tannehill is really the key to that offense because when he got there, they started to be good. Derrick Henry was there for a couple of years before Ryan Tannehill. When Ryan Tannehill got there, they became good. And so I think that, and he won that playoff game for them when Derrick Henry wasn't playing well. And when Derrick Henry, he didn't do a whole lot in the playoffs this year. So, look, I think Tannehill is the reason for their success. But I personally – oh, my God, this is so tough because I just don't think that he has – or that's not the question. It's can you win one with him? I'll say yes to that. I think I'll say yes to that. It was very close. I mean, it's like – if you flipped a coin and 51 times it said yes and 49 times said no, I don't think he will win one, but I think you could win one with Ryan Tannehill, but it was really tough for me.
I'd agree. I'd say you can win one, mainly just going off the fact he's already made it far in the playoffs before. He can make a deep run. And you know, when everyone counted him out, he made it to the AFC Championship. And again, like Jack said, when Derrick Henry wasn't playing well, he was there to pick up the slack. You know, he proved that he could lead this team. You know, look at the amount of points the Titans scored this year in each game. Like, it is off the charts. Like, he can score points. He can be, a much better game manager. I mean, he's not a game manager, but I mean, he can be, you know, an improved version of one, if you'd like to say, a more dynamic version. But I think, as Anish was alluding to, when the game slows down, can your QB do it? I think Tannehill can. And I trust him enough. And I was actually pretty low, not low, but like I was lower than most on Tannehill. Anish was higher than most, but I was pretty low on Tannehill going into 2020. And I think he proved me wrong this year. I think he did. It's just, as Jack said, I think he's the most important piece to this offense rather than Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's great. Like, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think the Titans would do better without Derrick Henry than they would without Ryan Tannehill. So based on what I've seen from Tannehill so far, I would say that he can win a Super Bowl. Will he? Tough call. But I don't think he will win a Super Bowl, but I definitely think he can.
So Ryan Tannehill is one of my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL, and I loved him in Miami. And as Shrikar alluded to, I was higher than most when he was awarded the starting job. So I have said this like dozens of times, and I know I'm bringing it up again, but like when I picked the Ravens over the Titans over the Ravens 2 years ago, it was like, and when the game happened, I didn't even expect this to happen. But again, when Derrick Henry was getting stuffed, right, Ryan Tannehill off play action was the one who broke the game open. It was him. It was those two throws. And I've argued this. Trust me, I've been on like 4 hour calls at a time talking about this. You know, I had a Niner fan talk to me about Tannehill versus Jimmy Garoppolo last summer. And you tell who I was arguing for, and you could tell who he was arguing for. But, you know, he said, oh, but Jimmy G did the same thing. He was, you know, people called him being carried by his offense, and he did. I can't really associate a playoff win with Jimmy Garoppolo. I can with Ryan Tannehill. That was my kind of thing. And even against Kansas City, when Derrick Henry only had 60 yards rushing, Tannehill kept them in the game. And I didn't even answer the question. Yes, you can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. I think his game is predicated. I did a QB whisper on him, right? I think his game is predicated on both play action game. He's very mobile when he needs to be. And he is so great on third down. Like I want the ball in his hands on third down. Very few quarterbacks I can say that for. I think he's no question in my mind, a top eight quarterback. I think you need to put him in your top eight if you were evaluating QBs. And one thing I'll say is, again, with Ryan Tannehill, what is necessarily like a fault? Like what is he bad at? I don't think he's bad at necessarily anything.
I think so, you just argue, you know, that, you know, he's not the most talented quarterback.
And that's the point. He hasn't even needed to be, because he can run when he needs to. He can throw it downfield when he needs to. And the best part is, you know, people, and I think what's even, you know, what's actually kind of bad is I think this whole narrative of how he needs to rely on Derrick Henry, it's kind of pushed over this offensive scheme too. Like against the Ravens, Derrick Henry got stuffed, and then you know, Arthur Smith was kind of thrown aback, right? Like, you know, even against the Browns too, Tannehill was actually the one who climbed them back. Like they were a possession away. So Ryan Tannehill is a quarterback that people underestimate. They underestimate his arm. They underestimate his legs. And I think in a Super Bowl, like I said, when the game slows down and you need to convert these third downs, I trust Ryan Tannehill. And for that reason, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. And as we wrap up and kind of run out of time on this one, there's going to be a couple quarterbacks that we left off this initial list that we'll come back with, if you guys like this, to do a second rendition of this. But the last one I want to talk about today is Baker Mayfield of the Cleveland Browns.
You had to.
No, yeah, I had to. Baker Mayfield is interesting, and I'm not starting on this one because I want to go last. Shrikar, why don't you start us off?
I'll go ahead and start on this one.
Do you think Baker can win a Super Bowl?
Not too long ago, we had a little segment about who was our dark horse Super Bowl contenders, and I confidently said the Cleveland Browns. So
when was this? I was aware that you wanted them 8-8 or something, and – you know,
it was this. It was not even like what, like a month ago? Was it?
This segment.
So if you ask me, do I think Baker Mayfield can win a Super Bowl? I am going to say a resounding yes. I think Baker is a top 10 quarterback in this league. If you don't have him top 10, I mean, he's made some fascinating strides this year. I didn't really think he was going to improve like this much, but you know what I've seen from him. I think he's a very talented quarterback. I think he's finally living up to that first overall pick billing. I mean, games we've seen against the Bengals and Cincy completely flipped the script, and it was all on him. He almost outdueled Lamar, in that Ravens game. That was an amazing game to watch. But I commend Baker for his performance in that game. The playoff game against Kansas City, I think he did well. It's just Baker Mayfield can definitely take this team to new heights. I've seen it. I've seen flashes. I've seen enough strides that make me confident in saying this Browns team, Baker Mayfield in general, he can win a Super Bowl. And that's why I'm going to confidently say, yes, Baker Mayfield can win a Super Bowl as a starter.
So do you also think that any team could win one with Baker? Is that, that's what you're saying?
Yes, I can. Yes, okay. I can.
So I have to go?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'd say very few people in this country have watched more Baker Mayfield than I have this season. I watched every game end to end except the Baltimore one, the first one when we got smoked. I turned it off 4 minutes in. Or sorry, 4 minutes left in the game.
Fairweather fan.
Baker Mayfield. So I remember last March, right? Oh gosh, I don't want to take up too much time, but last March I watched an interview with him and Rex Ryan. And I remember I sent it to you guys. I watched the entire thing. It was like 25 minutes. And I was like, this guy finally humbled himself. This guy finally realized it's not about the media. Like, he finally got it in his head. He's got to be quiet. Did you tell me, any NFL fan, did you hear a peep? It was just the commercials weren't even going on that much in the summer. Didn't have anything. Did you know that he actually stayed with Austin Hooper for 3 weeks?
Oh, no. You crammed that news down our throat.
He told us all.
I told everybody, but like not a lot of people knew this. Did you know he changed his footwork? I told you guys, but like not a lot of people knew what Baker Mayfield was doing in the offseason. Texas worked out with all his guys. Not a lot of people were knowing this. So he was a very quiet dude last offseason, and I'm telling you, that was his best decision of his career, because he comes in, right, fourth head coach in 3 years, and we've got guys like Jack Smith who don't believe in Baker, and we're like, oh, he's not good. Oh, Sam Darnold's better. And you know what? I'll admit it. On the Steelers game when they went 4-2, I was like, you know what? Should we really try out Case Keenum? Like, is it really time? Like, I was – because – the first 6 weeks, I didn't want the ball in the hands of Baker Mayfield. I wanted it in Nick Chubb. I wanted it in Kareem Hunt's hands. I would rather I trust the defense more. Like, on third down, I'd get scared because, you know, they'd run it, and then on third and fives, he would have to convert. But ever since week seven, ever since Odell got hurt, it was the biggest turnaround I've ever seen in my life. Like, his eyes were moving. He was moving in the pocket. He was a top five quarterback, according to PFF, towards the end of the year. He had one bad drive the entire year, ever since, like, only one where I was like, okay, what are you doing? And that was against Kansas City with 8 minutes left after Carl Joseph picks off Chad Henne. That's it. And yes, it was in a big moment. But, you know, the Steelers playoff game, great. The Lamar Ravens game, the 47-42 score. I wanted it in his hands, like, you know, again, back and forth. I want the ball in Baker Mayfield's hands. I didn't even answer the question again. Yes, you can win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield on any team, because think about it, right? Like, Jarvis Landry and Rashard Higgins, I love those guys. They're my favorites. But, you know, the average NFL fan isn't going to go, oh my God, that scares me. Like, he's really, like, you know, even his rookie year, he didn't have an insane receiving core. So, you know, it's not a question of, oh, you need to surround him with insane talent or an insane offensive line, right? And he has that, yes. But he's finally showing that ability to move in the pocket, have good pocket awareness, move his eyes. And I think that's why I want Odell essentially traded as a Browns fan, right? Like, I want Baker to really move around, right? Not focus on a receiver. And I think for that reason, he can work well when the game slows down. He can work well from behind. He was down 14 in that Ravens game. He can work well with the lead against the Titans, for example. He knows he can throw it downfield. He's actually got a really good arm, and he's finally not doing this Carson Wentz syndrome where he has to always make a play. He actually threw the ball a lot, threw it away a lot. Yes, he had some intentional groundings. That's another problem I hope he fixes, but he was learning to throw the ball away. So that's my whole take. I don't want to take up too much time. I'm not going to say he's a top 10 quarterback because I'm not doing that, because my friend who said Jimmy G was, nope, didn't end well, so he's not a top 10 guy, but he can win a Super Bowl in my book.
My favorite part about doing all these recordings is Anish saying, I don't want to take up too much time, and then proceeding to talk
for 5 minutes. Time.
And then at the end saying,
Baker Mayfield. Like, I you have no idea how many times I've watched that interview with Colin Cowherd, or like how many times I've watched his highlights. Like, I watch it too much. It's too much for my own good.
Don't worry. The reason I wanted to go last is because I knew you were going to go so long, and I can sum it up quickly. I do think Baker Mayfield can win a Super Bowl. I don't want to talk about him too much because I still don't like the Browns. I don't like him all that much. But you're right. He exploded last year after the 6 weeks when you were calling for them to draft Zach Wilson. You said, oh, we got to draft the Zach Wilson kid out of BYU. I mean, put Case Keenum in, and I was laughing. And then all of a sudden, he turns into a borderline elite quarterback for the rest of the year, wins a playoff game, almost beats the Chiefs too. I know it was about Patrick Mahomes, but still, to be in that situation, like, look, I was very impressed with Baker Mayfield and his resurgence this year in the middle of the year. It's really tough to turn around a year in the middle of the year. Normally, like, if you have a sophomore slump, then, or you have a slump, you turn it around at the beginning of the year.
Especially with that much, pressure on you, it just gets tougher.
You really never see
he's able to do that.
That it happened in the middle of the season, and Baker Mayfield showed me that, which is why I think that any team could win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield. But if you guys are watching this on YouTube, please consider leaving a like, hitting the subscribe button, and leaving a comment, letting us know what you thought of the episode, what you thought of some of the topics we talked about. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any of the other podcast platforms, you can subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed it. That would really mean the world to us and help us keep growing. We're just trying to grow this as big as possible. We're going to college at some point too. I mean, we're just trying to have fun with you guys talking football. It's what we love to do. But thank you guys so much. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you next time.